In our studies so far, up through yesterday, we had seen that the doctrine of that John wrote to those first three churches of the seven churches in Revelation, there Revelation 1 to 3, 1 through 3, the doctrine that he wrote to them is in opposition to the doctrine they would be teaching if they were body of Christ churches. So they cannot be body of Christ churches. They're Israel churches, kingdom churches, so to speak, regarding the kingdom. The kingdom was not in place yet during that, will not be in place yet by the time of those churches after the body of Christ is caught up to be with the Lord. But let's see about these last four churches that John wrote to. In the first three chapters, first three chapters of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John writes to the fourth church, the church in Thyatira, that he also has a few things against them. And in Revelation 2, verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Furthermore, Christ tells that fourth church, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Wow. I'm glad that God promised that believers on him today are not judged or condemned according to my works, what I do, what you do. It's according to Christ's work on the cross. We're trusting on Christ, and we are in Christ once we trust on him. Okay, let's go down to verse 23. Revelation 2, verse 23. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. That's harsh. That's rigid. That cannot be the body of Christ, can it? We're not under those conditions. The Bible says that we are not judged for salvation according to our works. We will be judged for rewards according to our work in the body of Christ, but we're not judged for salvation according to our works. What we read earlier in the lessons before, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Here it is, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So here in the text, in the church in Thyatira, Christ is judging them according to their works. God is imputing their trespasses unto them. There's a difference there. It's not us. It's the regathered Israel, those among regathered Israel who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, or they do not continue to believe until the end, enduring to the end to be saved, it's required of them. It's not required of us to endure to the end. Once we're saved, we're saved. But they're not saved yet. They have to endure to the end to first be saved, at the end. Christ will judge them according to their works. How vastly different that is from the conditions which God placed on the body of Christ today. Again, God has already judged and forgiven all things for us in the body of Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. It's in Christ that we are the righteousness of God. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us. It's a gift. It's grace. It was given us. It's not something you earn. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Look at Titus 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, This is body of Christ doctrine. This isn't for Israel. This is body of Christ doctrine. Paul is writing it. Remember Galatians 2, verse 9? When Paul writes, he writes to the uncircumcision. He goes to the uncircumcision. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the next verse explains those two things, so it's not something we do. 2 Corinthians, the next verse in the text, if you go to verse 6, in other words, Titus 3, 6. But we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Him, talking about Christ, who knew no sin. He didn't have any sin of his own to die for. He left. All right. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It makes it possible. It, you know, just like we saw in what I posted earlier there, Leviticus 20, verse 26, God had to separate Israel from the rest of the world, the corruption in the rest of the world, for Israel to be holy, set apart unto God. Well, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What is that a result of? For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 3:9, same thing here. It's not our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness imputed to us. It's nothing we do. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I did it. It's, you know, I kept the law. I did it. It was me. No. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what God is looking for. The only legitimate response to God's grace is faith. So that's very plain. It's not my own righteousness which would be of the law. God imputes his own righteousness to us. And it's through the faith of Jesus Christ, going to the cross to die for our sins, believing God would resurrect him with the sins all gone, all paid for, left behind, blotted out, whatever you want to call it. John's letter to the fifth church. We're going to look at the one that he wrote to Sardis there in the first three chapters of Revelation. And he gives them a warning rather than a comfort. He warns them that they will not know what hour Christ will come. Look at Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Holding fast and repenting are words that have to do with Israel. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Not come to thee. Not come and rescue thee. Come upon thee. Israel is going to have some trouble, some tribulation. They will not be altogether unpunished. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. So that's for Israelites. It's for Israel blessers. Who do not endure to the end. It's not for us. Let me remind you again that is not for us or about us. That's a warning, not a comfort. And based on that condition, if therefore thou shalt not watch, they'll be treated conditionally. They're going to be. It's talking about Israel. Therefore, the church in Sardis cannot be a body of Christ's church. So then in verse 5, Revelation 3, verse 5, John warns that they must overcome to avoid having their name blotted out of the book of life. Does that sound like the doctrine Paul taught? It's different, much different. It's in opposition. Revelation 3, 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Who is it whose name stays in the book of life and who Christ will confess his name before his Father? That is he that overcometh. You have to overcome in that system, not under grace. Grace is a gift. Overcoming is a work. But what about the ones who do not overcome? That's not like us either. Some of those, well, some of us don't overcome after the flesh sometimes. Fortunately, Christ revealed different doctrine to Paul for us. Also, we see Israel's angels mentioned in the passage. Look again in verse 5, Revelation 3, 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Angels always show up in connection with Israel. And there's a reason for that. But angels are connected. They're different from, how would I put it? Angels don't have to do with the body of Christ. They're not connected with the body of Christ. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, as our seal, not just an angel, not just a ministering spirit sent to help those who need to endure to the end to be saved. The seventh church. Let's look at the seventh church, the church of the Laodiceans. John writes that God could spew them out of his mouth. Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That cannot happen to the body of Christ or members thereof. Fortunately, God never said he would spew the body of Christ out of his mouth. Look again at 8, Romans 8. Romans 8, we'll look at 38 and 39 verses. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Well, where is that love of God? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are, we're believers. We are in Christ. So looking down Revelation 3:20, John reports that Christ stands at the door of that Laodicean church and knocks. John says that if any man will open the door, Christ will come into him. That will never again happen to the body of Christ because Christ is already in his whole body. I mean, the whole body, the body of Christ is here. We don't have to wait to come in. Christ does not have to wait for individual members of his body to receive him into the body of Christ. We are in the body. No one can enter the body of Christ without receiving Christ first. You see, there's a conflict of understanding. I mean, there's just, it can't fit as the body of Christ. It has to be Israel that it's talking about. All through there, that's the seventh of the seven churches there. Look at how the Bible says we in the body of Christ get there. How do we get into the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, actually 1 through 6, to end the sentence and to show that the witnesses to the resurrection there are verified in Scripture. But look what it says. In the first two verses, it tells you how to be saved by believing the gospel that's in the second two, third and fourth verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So he's talking about the gospel, which he preached to them there in Corinth when he was there. I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. You know, if you're saved, you're saved. Not ever ending up in hell. You're saved from it. Israel wasn't yet saved from it, though. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory. So when you're getting saved, keep in memory what I preached unto you. Keep that in mind. Not what the others are preaching about works, like we just saw those churches in seven churches in Revelation. Works, 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 all through there. What they do depends, determines what they get, whether they get saved or not. So, but Paul says, keep in memory what I preached unto you. You're not under law, but under grace, unless you believed in vain. Well, how do you believe in vain? By not keeping in memory what Paul preached when you want to get saved. By believing what Peter said, or what James said, or what Jesus said strictly to Israel, Israel's doctrine. No, believe the doctrine that Christ gave to you through Paul. For I delivered unto you first of all, and here it is, that which I also received. This is how Paul was saved, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, truly dead, and, you know, put those sins out of the sight, out of sight. And that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And then you've got two verses of verification that he rose again, verses 5 and 6. But look at that third verse. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Where are your sins? What about tomorrow if you sin? Do you have to get Christ to die on the cross again for him? For that sin? No. Christ already died for all your sins. When you received him as your Savior, you received him as your Savior for your sins. Your sins is a body of sins from conception to death. Well, what about your nature? Your nature you're born with, the image and likeness of Adam in sin. We're born with sin, not just with sins. For that, turn to... I don't have that in the verse list. Let me just pull it up here. 2 Corinthians 5:21 deals with sin rather than sins. And he says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Our sin nature, Christ took on himself. He became that. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We couldn't have been made the righteousness of God with his... with our sin, Adam's sin, still part of our nature. God took that on himself and makes us believers the righteousness of God. It's not something you do or attain to. It's something Christ does when you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. So, but In relation to what we're talking about here, these seven churches, Christ is not on the outside of the body knocking, trying to pull someone's heartstring to get into the body of Christ. He is in. He is. The body of Christ is his body. It's part of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? So, once you believe that Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification, you are in the body of Christ and sealed there. And finally, only some of those in the church of the Laodiceans will overcome, and Christ will grant to sit on the throne of sit with him on his throne. Only some of them. Revelation 3:21. Let me just get a sip here. Hold on. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down on my Father's throne. There's a difference there, isn't there? All we in the body of Christ have already been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. We have already been, we already have that position. We can see insurmountable differences between the body of Christ and the seven churches of Israel there in the opening three chapters of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. However, there is an exact match between Israel and those seven revelation churches. That means that before Israel's prophetic fulfillment resumes again in Revelation chapter 1, the fullness of the Gentiles will have come into the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ. And it will have already been caught up to the air to meet the Lord. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that's Christ, head in heaven and body on earth, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that will be the catching up of the body of Christ. And that'll be when Christ's body here on earth will be caught up out of the way, and the man of sin will then be able to be revealed. I certainly would not want to be left here then, and I'm sure none of us would. But we've been talking about the differences between the church, the body of Christ, and those seven churches found in Revelation chapters 1 through 3. They cannot be body of Christ churches, as we've seen in every instance down through all seven of them. Christ has things against them. However, Christ has nothing against the body of Christ. By reading Romans 8, 31 through 39, you can see very clearly no one can ever lay any charge against anyone in the body of Christ. There are other places which tell us about that same security of the believer in the gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. God accounts to us believers the very righteousness of God. Christ has already paid for all our trespasses and forgave them as believers. So I'm done with that part of the lesson, and if there are other questions, comments, please feel free to bring them up right now.